to serve the body of Christ. And so all of us should be heroes, servants of the church. Amen. So today we're going to talk about a subject that I know people say, man, the first time I come to this church and the first message I'm going to hear when I come to this church is going to be about giving money. So that was not planned. So, you know, people say, man, I can't believe here we go again. But I promise you that this message is going to be a little bit different than many of you maybe have heard when you come to church. I'm not going to quote Malachi 3 at you, okay? I'm not going to call any of you robbers and thieves, okay? It's not going to happen. This message, when we talk about giving, when we say, I love my church, we're going to see from a standpoint of what that looks like from a biblical standpoint. And it's not about making anyone feel guilty or saying, wow, now I got to come in here and got hit up for some bucks. We're not going to talk about that, okay? It's really, it's just how this sermon came about. So, but I do ask you to listen and to really seek God and what it looks like when we say we love our church, because that is so true. And we're going to look at the book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 and 35. Now, when we think about the book of Acts, the early church was birthed in the book of Acts. And they began to be the people who was called out, and they began to organize for the purpose of the mission of spreading the gospel. So the book of Acts, it tells us the history of Christianity and how the early disciples began to come together for a purpose to bring about the gospel of Jesus Christ to all nations. And in the book of Acts, we see things that they did and how they interacted with one another, with the apostles, with the word of God, and how they interacted in their community to bring forth the gospel. So when we look at the book of Acts, we get this picture to see what did the early church do, how did they live, and what impact does that have on our life as Christians, and in particular as a body of believers at Beyond the Walls Community Church, how we come together, and when we say, I love my church, how do we demonstrate that in our lives? So when you find the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, I ask you to stand with me in honor of God's word. We're going to read those verses, and then we're going to unpack them and see what God has to say to us through his word. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Do you have it? All right, here we go. It reads, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts today through your word. May we truly understand what it means to love your people. In God's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When we think about giving, many people have had, when you come to church and you think about giving, many people had a bad experience when it comes to that. Wouldn't you agree? Many people, when we think about the church, we think about, man, all they want is what? I mean, man, you guys miss some of the churches, huh? Yeah. So, but now when you think about that, sometimes that's the negative connotation that you get from churches is they're all about your money or they're all about that. I want you to say here at Beyond the Walls, that's not true. We're all about loving Jesus Christ, and we're all about loving people. Those who have been here at this church for 3 years can count probably on one hand how many times I've ever talked about money in a sermon, as far as like took the time to talk about it. It's very rarely, because we want to be a biblical church that loves God and loves people. And I believe that when people love God, then God has all of them. He has our time, our talent, and our treasure. So when God has us, he has everything that we own. Amen. Ladies, you know that when your husband loves you, and you say, baby, you my heart. Now, you know that when that happens, that if you a man really love, when a man say loves his wife, she can get whatever she wants because he loves her, right? So when we think about those things, so when we say we love our church, we're going to look at what it looks like to give. Now, I put it at the top of your outline, and I said this, loving your church means loving others with what you have. Loving your church means loving others with what you have. Now, many of us can quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have what? Everlasting life. We know that when God said he loved us, he did something. He gave, right? So God gave something to us. He gave his very best. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ gave his life for us. So that's a good passage to know. But also, 1 John 3:16 is a good passage to know also. So I'm going to read that passage to you and tell you, it also talks about giving and how that the gospel should also be a way that we also express giving to other people. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle John says this, "By this we know love, that he," means Jesus Christ, "laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" It says also in verse 18, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." And what it's saying is the fact that when we say, "I love my church," love is an action verb. Love is a way that love is what we do. It's not how we just, "Well, I feel like I love you." So when we say that God loves us, he can prove that because he gave his son, Jesus Christ. And when I tell you that Jesus Christ loves you, I can prove that because Jesus Christ gave his life for you. So when we say that we love our church, "I love my church," how are we able to prove that? It's only by our actions. So when I say I love my church, or when you say I love my church, we have to look at that and say, do we really love the people in our church? And God has blessed us to be a blessing to other people. Matter of fact, it says in the scriptures, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So when we look at this passage of scripture in Acts chapter 4, 32 and 35, we see the early church coming together for a common cause, which is to spread the gospel. Then they came also as a community of believers, and they began to gather together, and they began to know one another and love one another. And they loved one another so much that they did something. They took care of one another. Always says this, God blesses his people through his people. God blesses his people through his people. And so we're blessed to be a blessing. So when we think about giving and we think about living, I also say this, that God, we should not apologize if God has blessed you to have a great job and to have a good community to stay in, a good house. You should not apologize for that. You should praise God for that. But one thing we need to do is we need to also is not be prideful in that. God calls us, the fact that he calls us to share. I always say this sometimes, that God will increase our financial abilities, not to increase our living. He may do it to increase our giving. So when you get a raise on your job or you get this big amount of money in, it's not always saying, "Ooh, man, I need to get this bigger house or this bigger car or this bigger television." It may be God saying, in fact, that I have blessed you with that because there's somebody that you know in the church that I want you to be a blessing to financially. Now, I want you to know that what I'm talking about today is so you don't misinterpret me and say, "Well, I know, I got what he's talking about," because we talk about God wants to, us to use our time, our talent, and our treasure. Now, some people say, "You know what? Hey, listen, God can get all the time he wants out of me. He can get all the time he wants out of me, but don't touch my treasure." This message is not talking about your time. This message is not talking about your talent. This message is particularly talking about your treasure. We call those greenbacks, dead presidents, dollar bills. That's what this message is really talking about. So when you understand that, it makes us uncomfortable because we say, man, because that is one thing that we as people and all of us, even myself, been guilty of, is the fact that we look at that and say, wait a minute here now. You know, I said about my soul and my salvation, you know, but I don't know about, you know, the other stuff. You know, one preacher said that when you baptize people, you need to also baptize their purses and wallets too. They need to get saved. You know, baptize a person and grab that person, baptize that too, get that saved. And so what we understand is this, loving your church means loving others with what you have. We all have something. We all have been blessed in many ways. And there may be someone that you can share with that needs something. Now, I don't know about you, but just me personally. When you have needed something in your life and someone has, and God has sent someone to you to be a blessing to you, and you know how that felt, that this message doesn't bother you because you say, man, I have experienced that blessing. Have you ever experienced when you were in need and you didn't know where the money's going to come from and you praise that God, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm trusting you, and somebody that you knew came by the blue and said, you know what? God put you on my heart. I just want to give. I just want to bless you. Has that ever happened to you? Happened to me? It happened to me more than once. That people have, I didn't know where the money was going to come from, what was going on. If you say, you know what? I just want to, God put you on my heart. I just want to bless you. And that is so important. You know, I mean, one time that I can tell you that when I was in seminary and we needed a car. And in my seminary, every year they would have, this church would put on what they call a shopping spree. And it would be free. And the church members would, from this church, would bring stuff to give to these young seminary students who were barely making ends meet. And so there was sometimes these church members would give their cars, would give cars. So I needed a car at that time. So you go up there and you get a ticket and you have to write down, okay, why I need this car and all this stuff. So I wrote down and I put my ticket in there. Hey, I need this car. So we're there and three or four people get a car. We didn't get chosen. Now, I could have been like, man, I could have been salty at the people who got the car. I mean, I'm looking at, why them, not me? But I didn't do that. I said, you know what? God, I thank you. They needed more than I did, so I just praise God for that, that they was able to get the car. Monday came by. I'm at school. The president said, hey, when you get a chance, you know, you need to go by the office. So I go by the office, and he tells me, hey, we got good news for you. Another church member donated a car, and it's yours. Gave me a car. I was like, wow. Paid for, and it's yours. And so what I'm trying to say is that I've experienced those blessings in my life. I can remember many times being called to the office. Hey, Dimitri, I want to talk to you. Hey, some person donated $500, and they want to give it to you. They just want to bless you. No, nobody knew that my rent was due. And guess how much my rent was? $500. And God met that. I can tell you many stories. I can remember one time, one Christmas, hey, I'm in seminary. I don't have the money to buy my kids' Christmas gift. I don't have the money. And a church said, you know what? Hey, Dimitri, a church wants to sponsor you, and they bought my kids all Christmas gifts. You see, so what I'm telling you that I've experienced God's blessing from God's people. And I'm telling you the fact that, and so it's been a blessing. And then after that, I took the car and gave it to someone else. Once I actually had graduated, I didn't need the car. I took that car. I didn't sell it. I gave it to someone. I didn't take what someone had given to me and said, now I'm going to turn it and flip it and make a profit off of it. I took the car and gave it to my sister-in-law. Hey, you know, you can have this. God bless me. I want to bless you. And then when we had the opportunity to give back, when God gave us a little change, I went back and then I also wrote a check to my school and said, hey, I remember when I was blessed by this school, I want to be a blessing to some other student. Could you give this to them and bless some other student who may be struggling? Because I remember what it was going through school, not having to make ends meet. Can you bless someone like that? And that's what I'm talking about. This message is blessing people. Through people. God blesses people through people. And the early church was doing that, and they were doing it without someone even actually telling them, if you do this, God's going to bless you. They just love one another, and they just did it. So in order for us as a church to begin to be like the early church and really look at that example, now I'm not telling you to leave here and sell your car, sell your houses, and be homeless. So let me just, I'm not telling you, to, you know, Pastor, I sold everything, I'm coming to live with you. Pastor, love you. Look, I'm gonna give you about one night. But no, I'm joking. But that's not what I'm talking about. This is not about you selling your stuff. It's really about you and I. Point one is this: release your grip. Release your grip on your stuff. Release your grip. The early church, they released their grip on what was theirs. Now, letter A is this: God is the owner, and we are the stewards. When you understand this point, that God is the owner and we are the stewards, you're able to release your grip. Now, many people, they miss God's blessings because they're not able to release their grip. Now, what I mean by this is this: when you got money in your hand, now you just hold it like this. This is tight, man. You know, and many folks come like this right here. They tight. Now, Jake, come here, brother. Now, see, now say Jet needed 20, and I say Jet needed 20 bucks. I got 20 bucks, but I got a grip on it, right? So now, Jet, try to get that. He just can't get it, right? See, he's trying, he got two hands. He's like, I'm going to try it. Now, go sit down. You ain't get no money. But what I'm trying to say, that's it. So we got our hands like this right here. And many of us have a grip on our stuff. Whether it's our money, our car, we got a grip like this. And what I'm trying to say is that when we have a grip, we miss something. We miss two things. When we have a grip on our stuff, our money, two things. God can't put nothing in, can't take nothing out. What God wants us to do is do this, to release the grip. And when we do that, God can place stuff. Jet, stay right there. You're trying to run. I saw you running over here. I did not call you back up, brother. I just thought you. He was like, hey, I'm coming up there. We put the money like this. And when we do that, God says, I can place it in your hand. Now, you can say, man, I've been blessed. Then God said, I can put something in and I can take something out to give it to someone else. And what we understand is this. We can never be God-given, no matter how hard we try, right? So what God wants us to do is to have our hands like this, so God can put something in, he can take something out. And God is so good that he will put something in, he won't take all of it out, but he'll take something to give to someone else, to be a blessing to someone that's in need. So what we're talking about is the early church, they did that. They sold their possessions and they gave to anyone who was in need. Remember again, I said letter A, God is the what? And we are the steward. Now, a steward is someone who manages somebody else's stuff. Somebody else's property, somebody else's money. We are to manage God's money. God owns it. And we are to manage what is his. So when we think that, now most of us are like the movie Finding Nemo, like those seagulls. That's a picture of some of us. We're screaming, mine, mine, mine. See, they got issues. All of them are in a corner singing, mine, mine, mine. And see, we don't want to be like that. We want to be saying, it's God's, it's God's, it's God's. We don't want to be like these seagulls. The question to ask yourself, are you like the early church saying, we're just owners? I mean, God's the owner, we're stewards. Or are you really like this? It's mine. It's mine. Whatever you have, by the grace of God, is all by the grace of God. And when we understand that it's by the grace of God and we're only stewards, then it's our responsibility to manage and to be faithful. Because the Bible says a steward must be found faithful over what God has given us. Yes, our time, our talent, but also we should be faithful over the money that God has given us. We should be faithful and to glorify God in our giving. Amen? So next, also, we have to also release our grip. Then also, God invests with us and wants to see a good return on his investment. I want you to know that if you're a believer, God has invested in you. He has invested his time, his talent, his treasure. He has invested in you, and he will see a return on his investment. Now, when we think about it, it's not just about saying, okay, how much money I can make in this world. It's really about how much I can live off of and how much I can give to help someone else out. God wants to see a return on his investment. I want you to know, also in letter C, we will give an account to God on how we manage his money. You have to give an account to God on how you've managed his money. Romans 14, 12 says that we all will have to give an account to God on what we did with our time, our talent, and our treasure. We will have to give an account to God for what we did with his money. Even also in the Gospel of Matthew, when it says that when God gave a servant, gave him talents, then he says he came back to settle accounts. The question for you and I is that when God comes to settle an account with you, when he asks you, what did you do with the money I gave you? What did you do with it? Now, was it just for you? Was it just for you? When you say the Trinity, me, myself, and I? Or did you bless others with what he gave you? We all got to ask those questions in our lives and say, what do we do with the money that God gave us? And that's tough for all of us to hear, because all of us are going to have to really stand before God with that. And we want to be found faithful in that area and to be able to say, God, we glorified you with the finances that you gave us, that we bless someone else. And that's why when it says to store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Many of us have a safe deposit box on earth, and we have one in heaven. The one in earth is full. The one in heaven is empty. Nothing in there. Because we have not laid anything up in there. And we got everything here. And what I want to understand and tell myself and tell you, that we cannot take nothing with us when we go. And only what we have done for Jesus Christ will last. You're saying, you have never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You never saw that. You haven't. And I don't care what you say, the guy said, it was a rich man. He was rich. And he died. And so now you know what happened when a rich person died and people know he's rich? They're at the funeral, but they're thinking one question. How much did he leave? How much did he leave and who did he leave it to? So they asked me, how much did he leave? And the guy said, he left it all. He took nothing with him. He left it all. And when you and I die, we're going to leave it all. So isn't it better that you can send something ahead of you to heaven? I mean, you can send some stuff to heaven before you get there. That's why he says, store up treasures where? In heaven. You can send some stuff ahead of you that when you get there, it'll be there. And it's been in the form of people that you have blessed with the resources and the finances that you have been given. And many of us, have been blessed beyond measure. If the truth be told, many of us, if we looked at our lives, look at our accounts, look at our money, we have been blessed beyond measure. And the question we have to say truly, if I've truly been blessed beyond measure, who have I blessed in measure? Who have I blessed? Because you really can't say you're blessed by God if you're not blessing the people of God, the other people. Because there was a rich man, had a whole bunch of stuff. And it says that the land produced a lot of crops for him, produced many. And it says that he said to himself, what am I going to do with all these crops that I've got? He said, I have an idea. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. Then once I put all my crops in there, I'm going to take it easy. He said, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And then it says something happened. God called him a fool. It said, tonight, your soul is required of you. And then Jesus said, so is such as some of you who are not rich toward God. And there are many people that are not rich toward God. They're rich toward themselves. They have big barns. They tear them down, build bigger barns. I said, man, this is great. Look at my barns. I am blessed. And what God is saying to you, you are a fool. Because you're believing that your identity is wrapped up in your barn. And you believe that I bless you so you can build a bigger barn. And there are people that pass by you that you know that are hurting and can't make it and have what you have, and you won't even give it to them because you have a grip on it. So we think about bringing it down to our church. There may be somebody here in need that we don't know, but God knows. That there's a person in here that's in need that we don't know, but God knows. And God asks, and then when you begin to pray and see God, God let that person on your heart and say, hey, I just want to come to you and bless you. Have you ever had that experience in your life? That when you witness now say that you witness, that I received someone giving me something. But I've also been a part when God told me to give somebody some money. That I didn't have a clue what was going on, but just God put this in prayer and said, you need to give them some money. I said, God, how much? How much you say? I want you to give them that. And to be able to go to him and say, hey, God told me to give you this. Here you go. And the person say, man, you didn't know, I really know how I was going to make it, and you just blessed me. I said, to God be all the glory. Now, I tell you this, I was happy when I received that car, but I'm going to tell you this, I was more joyful when I gave to someone else. So it's one thing to say, oh, I'm blessed when I receive something, but what we should be saying, man, I was so blessed to give to someone else. And that's what it's about. And unfortunately, most of the time as Christians, we only shout and we only speak in tongues when we're receiving something. It's never when we're giving something out. And that's what we want to help us to understand, is that when we understand that we are just the stewards and God owns everything, and that God wants us to invest his money, he wants a return on his investment, and God loves people. God loves people. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32 again. And I think the key is this. He says, now the full number of those who believed. It says they were of one heart and soul. That means they were unified around a common person, Jesus Christ, and a common mission, leading other people to follow Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what could happen when people are unified around a common person and a common mission? What God can do? He said they were of one heart and they were all together. It says no one said any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. When we begin to really be unified around our Savior Jesus Christ and really be unified around a mission, and really love one another, we won't begin to say, this is mine, like seagulls. We'll be able to say, it belongs to God. And God, if you tell me to get rid of it, it's yours anyway. Who do you want me to bless with what you've given me? And that's what we want to be for God, to glorify people with what he has given us with our finances. Also, we said to release our grip. Second point, we need to tighten our belt. Now, for some of you, that's probably some country slang, but to tighten your belt means the fact that you don't need to get everything that you want. That's what that means. That you don't need to get everything that you want. That there's some stuff you just don't need. See, God has promised to meet our need, but we've gone so far, we say, God, meet my need and my greed. Give me more than that. Give me more. I mean, running over. Press down, shake. We want it all. We talking about greed now, overflowing. And we do that only talking about ourselves. God, give me more for me. We never say, God, give me more to bless someone else. How many times you play, God, give me more to be a blessing to someone else? In other words, that when you get a raise on your job, does God get a raise? When you get a raise on your job, does God get a raise? When you get a bonus on your job, does God get a bonus or does Macy's get a bonus? Does MasterCard get a bonus? Does JCPenney get a bonus? See, God said, I know where my money is. It's not in the storehouse. It's in Macy's house. Or some kid named JCPenney's house. I don't know who that cat is, but he got it. So sometimes we need to tighten our belts. And what that means is this. Make room in our budget to help people. Make room in our budget to help people. Sometimes God will increase your finances, not to increase your living, but to increase your giving, to bless someone else. We are blessed to be a blessing. And when we do that, when we say, God, all I have is yours, then God can direct you and point you to someone who's in need. And you give it. Because it's not yours anyway. You give it to God, and he will get the glory from it. Tighten your belt. That may mean that we ain't got to eat out every day. That may mean I ain't got to get a Starbucks every day. That means that I don't need to get that, you know, every time the new car come out, I'm upgrading. Maybe I don't need that. Maybe I don't need that new house. I'm okay where I live. I got a nice house. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't need to upgrade. Maybe I don't need to keep up with the Joneses. Because we know what the Joneses are going through inside of their home. Maybe God has allowed me to be content where I am and to use what he has given me to be a blessing to someone else who's in need. Wonder we thought about that, that we was on one accord, unified, and when people that we knew in our congregation, that God could say to us, hey, I need you to give that to that person. Would you do it? See, God wants us not only to have a heart to give, God wants you and I to have the means to give. See, there's some people who have a heart to give. Some people have a heart to give, but don't have the means. There's some people who have the means to give, but don't have the heart. Because giving is all about a heart. See, some people, I have it to give. But I don't have the heart to give it because my heart is not with God. There's some people who say, I have a heart to give. Pastor, I just don't have the means. Think about that. God wants to have the heart and the means. And when those two connect with one another, oh man, what God can do in our church. And I believe this, everything that we need is right here in our church. Everything that we need is right here. God has already given it to us. Only now you're saying, can I give through you? So make room in our budget to help people. Someone say that the proper budget should be this. We should give, save, spend. Most time, what do? America, we spend, save a little, and give even less than that. We're going to spend it first. A little bit in the savings. And if we got anything left over, then we may give it. But then we do it like this right here. We tear it off. But what God is saying for us is that when we tighten our belt and we live not only within our means, sometimes we live below our means. I mean, I could get that, but I choose not to. Because I want to be available to be used by God and to meet needs that he may bring to me. I want to be able to meet a need that God may bring to me. There may be a sister and brother that come to me, or maybe God may put one on my heart and say, hey, you have it to give. Bless them with that. And it doesn't have to be, well, okay, they come to us and then we give it. God can meet you in the park and say, hey, give that to them. And you do it. The question is this. What is it that you're holding on tight to? And the question is God came to you and said, hey, I want you to give that to that person. Would you do it? Would you say, okay, would I do it? Our prayer is that we would do those things. So we want to release our grip, tighten our belt. Now, what happens when we do that? When we release our grip on our things, when we tighten our belts, I think that we also need to be generous. In that, when we do that, we can be generous to people. Generous means the fact that we give to people expecting nothing in return. See, we don't give to get. We give because we love God and we've been blessed to be a blessing. We want to be generous to people. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19, the Apostle Paul was telling his young protege, Timothy, who was pastoring the church at Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus, they had some people who, from all ethnicities, they had some who were lower class, middle class, some or the higher class. They had financial, some was not financially well off. There were some that were. Like I said again, there's nothing wrong with that. You should apologize for being financially well off. But what you should understand, and here's what Paul told Timothy to teach a congregation that was under his care. And he said, to those who are rich, teach them this. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says this in verse 17. He says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, to be prideful, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. See, God will provide things for you to enjoy. See, God won't tell you, he'll tell you, enjoy life. But what he says to you, enjoy life with me in life. Then he says in verse 18, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. That's what God says to those who are rich. Don't trust in our money, trust in God. Do good works, be generous, and be willing to share what you say, what God has blessed you with. Are you generous and are you willing to share? That's what God wants from us, to be those type of people, to be that type of church, that when people say, I love my church, that means that when I see a need, I'm able to meet a need. And God will put you in places where you will see a need and you'll be able to meet a need. Now, you can meet that need and you don't have to shout it from the rooftop that you met that need. God will tell you to do it just between you and that person and you move on. And that's how it should be. You see a need and you meet a need. So how do we do that? How do we be generous? We look for ways to help someone in need. You're attentive. You look for ways to help people who are in need. You know, and I'm so grateful that God has put in this church people who have different type of gifts. Those who are can be handymen. Some people can do stuff. I can't do that. Some people can. And you look for ways to help people. Then also, God has put people in our church who are handymen. God's put people in our church also who are financially are able to give, who are generous. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, God has been. Maybe that's you because you say, I don't believe that. Maybe you. You don't believe, maybe you're the one, but anyway. God has put people in our church who maybe not only have the means, but have the heart. And say, hey, I'm able to give to bless someone. But we look for ways to help someone in need. So you look around, but also you do something else. Let it be. Build relationships with one another. We want to build relationships with one another. Now you say, what made the early church do this? What made these people sell what they own and bring it to the church? Now, it doesn't mean that they sold their homes and became homeless. That means some of them had more than one home. They had land. They had extra property. They not only had one home, they had a vacation home of the property. They sold it. They said, there are people that I know who are in need. I'm going to bless them. I think they had an eternal perspective, not an earthly perspective. See, we have an earthly perspective, meaning the fact that this is the best it's going to get right here. So I'm going to enjoy everything. I'm going to accumulate it here. That's an earthly perspective. An eternal perspective is the fact that nothing here lasts. I'm going to begin to bless God, and I'm going to send my treasure to heaven. I'm going to invest in people that God loves. And I think they built relationships with one another. They spent time with each other. That's how they knew. They actually knew each other's lives. So they knew one another enough that when someone, as they begin to build relationships, someone would say something, hey, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay my taxes. I don't know how we're going to make it. And God would move on the person's heart to say, I heard someone just say that. And they say, you know what? We have the ability to meet that need. We're going to sell what we have, and we're going to meet that need because they had built relationships, and they truly loved the people, and they had an eternal perspective, and they did not hold on to what they had. They say, God is yours. I'm yours, and what I have is yours. And if someone needs it, they can get it. That's what God wants in our lives. He wants us to release our grip, tighten up our belts, not get everything that we want, and to be generous. Look for ways. and build a relationship. That's why we are so important about our connection group, because it's all about building relationships. When you build a relationship with people, you begin to know one another, love each other, and when someone comes to you and confides in you, you say, man, I can meet that need. I just believe that no one in our church should stand alone in times of crisis. I believe that. And I also believe there should be not no needy people in our congregation, in our church. Now, you may not have everything you want, but you should have what you need. No one in our church should stand alone. And no one in our congregation should not have what they need. Because if we love God and we love people, we will love the people that we're with. We have a one purpose, and that's to glorify Jesus Christ. And so my goal and my prayer is that we will build relationships with one another, that we will know one another, that we will love one another, and that when someone shares a need or something with you, we can meet that need because we love that person. And that's what it's all about. And when we are generous, we look for ways to help someone in need, and we build relationships with one another, I believe this is the outcome. Look what it says in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 33. It says, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That was the outcome. When we are generous, the outcome is this. Needs of believers were met. The believers' needs were met. We can't only look beyond the walls to those who we help in our community. We also want to help those who are within the walls of our church. We want to do good to all people, and Paul says, especially those who are the household of faith. We want to take care of our own. And God has provided us to do that. So we want to look at those things and know that the needs of the believers were met. It says the early church met those needs. They had everything in common. Isn't that a great testimony for a church to have? That people truly love you? And that if you're really in need, the need's going to be met? That's powerful when we think about that. It gives us a different perspective on giving. We give to glorify God and to help those who are in need. And God will place you in positions to help other people who you come in contact with and build relationships with. Secondly, the outcome was the power of God was present among them. It says, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that when the apostles began to preach and proclaim, God was using them and God was doing miracles through them. That God was using, giving evidence that he was present in their lives, not only through their preaching, but through God was allowing the apostles to do miracles to authenticate that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, who he said he is. And that is so important, that the power of God was present with their early church. I don't know about you, but I want power to be present in my life, but not only in my life, I want God's presence and power to be in our church body. That when we gather and we come together, when people walk in here, they're able to say, truly the power of God is present among them. Because I believe that God says, I want to show myself powerful and strong on behalf of my people, but when they are understanding who I am and who they are, and they understand that all that they are and all that they have is mine, then God said, now I can work through those people. I can work through this church because they have been faithful over a few things. I can put them in charge over many. So when someone comes in who is hurting, who don't know Jesus Christ, they can come in here and experience the power and the presence of Jesus Christ and be set free. Isn't that powerful? So then we go from having this negative, all they want is your money. No, all we want is for you to experience the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We don't want your money. We want you to know Jesus Christ. And when they see that when we come in here, everybody is loving one another and the needs are being met, they say, wow, Look how they loved one another. Look how they're so excited about Jesus Christ. Look how they're so cheerful and they're so willing to give when a need is presented. God wants his church to be filled with his power. And for most part, I believe the reason why the church is not seeing God's power is because in our minds, we don't need God. We don't need God. I got my job. I got my 401k. I mean, trouble hit me, man. I got 6 months, you know, in the bank. I can hunker down for 6 months. See, we don't want to pray what Jesus said. God, give us our daily bread. And what Jesus was saying, that I'm dependent upon God for my daily needs. See, what God wants us to do is to be like the people of Israel. When God put them to the test, and he said to them, now I'm bringing you out of Egypt. Now they said, man, we don't have no food in this desert. What are we going to eat? And God said, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to bring some biscuits coming down from heaven. Some biscuits and syrup coming down from heaven. Now, actually, it was manna, but that was from Georgia. But no, it was some manna that came down from heaven. And what did God tell them to do? Only gather what you for one day. And he says that he who gathered what they needed had self over. Those who gathered more, guess what? It rotted. Because he said that now on the Sabbath, God's going to bring down a double, so you ain't got to worry about going to get it on the Sabbath. So Moses said, don't go out there trying to look for no manna on the Sabbath. It won't be there. God's giving you enough to do that. And he said, people still kept going out there. He said, didn't I tell you don't go out there? And some people said, well, I'm going to gather more. I'm going to store up. And they begin to rot. See, what happens to us sometimes as believers, when we begin to store more than we need, we begin to rot. We begin to smell. Because what that means then is the fact that we begin to store up and store up. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And God says, your heart, you don't have the right attitude. You don't have the right aroma. Because God wants a sacrifice, a sweet smelling aroma that's well pleasing to God. That's a sacrifice. He said, you don't know what it means to sacrifice anymore. Because you store it up and now you're riding. We should be always being a conduit to God to bless to us and through us. I want the power of God to be present among us. And also, it says, the favor of God was undeniable. The favor of God was undeniable. We talk about God's power. We talk about God's favor. The question for you, don't you want people to come in here and say, man, the power of God was undeniable in this place? The favor of God was undeniable in this place? Why? Because God says, I will show myself, I will manifest myself in their presence when I have their heart. I will manifest myself. My Shekinah glory will consume this place, will fill this place. See, just like the people of Israel, when they was marching on, there was something that was consuming them. That was the presence of God, the Shekinah glory. He was with them. He was in their midst. He was present with them. And I want God to be present with us and beyond the walls. When we are saying, God, we are your people. We are here for you. Whatever you have of us, we are yours. And God will ask you, let me tell you something, Christian, the more you walk with God, God will ask you to sacrifice. Don't ever believe God won't ask me to give that. Yes, he will. He will definitely ask you to give it. He will. God asked Abraham to give his what? His son. Your only son. Give it to me. And when Abraham did it, what did God say? Now I know what? You do what? He said, now I know you like me. Snow. Now I know you love me because you were not willing to withhold your only son from me. The question is for you and I. Do I like my church? I like you, man. Or do I love my church? See, if I like you, I'm going to withhold something from you. But if I love my church, I'm not going to hold nothing from you that I'm able to give. Because I don't trust my money, I trust God. And many people don't give their money because they say, just in case something happens, a rainy day. And I ask you, who controls the rain? No, seriously, who controls the rain? No, I was thinking about this because they were saying, hey, chaplain, it might rain at your ceremony. They say it's going to rain Friday. I said, listen, don't worry about it. I know the person personally who controls the rain, and he told me I got you. So I said, don't worry about it. He told me I got you. And those of us who came to my ceremony, what was it? A beautiful day. It was a beautiful day. Because God said, I got you. Because he said that I know that when you get up there and start talking, you're going to glorify me. I got you. See, God's got you. So you need to hold on to your stuff, the little pennies you got in the jar for rainy day. when God says, get those pennies to that person. God got you. See, many of us don't trust God. Now, we say we do. But with our actions, we trust in our Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and Benjamin Franklin and Andrew Jackson, the dead presidents. But I trust in a risen, living Savior. What about you? And God, do we trust? I want the favor of God in our church. Letter A is this. They had the respect from the surrounding community. See, I want people to give God glory. And I want people to respect our church. I want when people hear that you go to Beyond the Wall Church, I heard about that church. Man, they always blessing their community and blessing people. I want people to respect us. I want you to be proud to say, I belong to Beyond the Walls Community Church. I love my church. Amen. I want you to feel like you can hold your head up high and say, I serve a risen Savior at Beyond the Walls Community Church. That's my church. I love my church. And they can say, I heard about that church. I heard God resides over there. I heard God's power is over there. I heard God's favor is over there at that church. That's what God gives us, favor. You know that? See, church, I don't want to ever think that God is not present in our lives. Because June 7th, we're moving. The cloud is picking up and we're moving. But we're going with the favor of God. Because God's going to be with us. And people are going to ask, how can those band of people go somewhere and move into a building? Because we serve a great God. How can they do that? Because God said, I will show you how I can do that. Those who love me, I will show myself strong on their behalf. So if you're here today, we don't want your money. God wants your heart. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. Silver and gold do we have not. But what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, be set free. We want to give you something. We want to give you Jesus Christ. Because he's the best thing going today. He's the best gift you can ever receive. He loves you. If you're here today, God loves you unequivocally. He died for you. He created you. God knows everything about you, and yet he still loves you. He knows your sins. He knows those besetting sins. He knows your thoughts. But even in the midst of that, God says, come to me. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them as white as snow. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, we have a free gift for you. It's free. But our conclusion, before we do anything, guys, I want to see this conclusion. Be grateful for what you have, and be open to share with others, and seek contentment in God. Are you a grateful people? I'm grateful. I want us to be a grateful church, don't you? Don't we want to be grateful for all the things that God has done in our lives? And we want to be open to share with other people. We always want to be a church to have our hands like this. We want to be like that. And we want to always seek contentment with God. Contentment is this, meaning pretty much that I don't need a house or a car to define who I am. I am somebody in Jesus. Nothing that I have materially defines me, because I belong to God. And he has told me I am precious. In his sight, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You're precious. He loves you. So our free gift is this. Next slide. That's the gift. Salvation. It's free. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So you might have came here empty-handed. Said, I have nothing to give this church. The good news is, we want you to give anything. We want to give you something. The question is for you, have you received the gift? Now ask yourself honestly, have I received the gift of salvation that has been given by God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ? Have I really received the gift? Have I had the gift of forgiveness? The gift of salvation given to me. God says, come to me, I will give it to you. There is nothing you need to do, just come by faith, and I'll give it to you.